When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Phil Goldberg. Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I see you're in the studio. We're trying to get the gear to work properly, but I can hear you okay. I'm not sure that the microphone
is. Quit fucking making excuses for people and us, for God's sakes. I don't want to hear it anymore. The next time you do that, Matt, I'm telling you, I'm just going to unplug because, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. The people will get over it. People, you hear that? Get over it.
All right. CarCast, welcome. Here we go. I just kind of wanted to get into a few things. I know the Tokyo Auto Salon was going on, and that's just turned into a huge event over the years. And I have never had a chance to go. I've never been to Japan, but you used to wrestle quite a bit out there, right?
Yeah, but it didn't mean that I liked their car culture. But yeah, I used to wrestle out there. It was awesome. People were wonderful. They do have an unbelievable car culture. It's just that I'm not the biggest fan, mainly because I couldn't fit in any of their cars, which is normal.
Yeah, that's actually that actually makes sense.
It's true. That's like, why get involved in it if I can't partake, right? So,
but you know,
I appreciate it exponentially, but
The event itself looks impressive, and I know some people that have gone over the years, and I've got a couple of friends out there now checking it out, even for the first time, and it's just how it just sort of takes over. It's kind of I don't know how to really explain it. It's sort of a public car show meets a SEMA show because there's definitely some high-end builds and booths and you're right. It's like it doesn't have to be all of the same type of cars and style that you're into to appreciate the culture and what they're doing and the amount of work that they put in. And listen, I'm not a huge fan of lowriders, but every time I see one, I'm like, there's so much work into this thing.
I was just going to point out when I was on Garage Mahal, I remember going down to South LA and doing a lowrider episode. You wouldn't catch me dead in one of them, right? Prior, but after seeing what goes into them, and especially forget the hydraulics, the paint that goes on these cars.
Oh my gosh, the engravings, the paint.
It's absolutely unreal. So you have to greatly appreciate the time and effort that goes into what they do.
One of the companies that seems to be making waves over there is Liberty Walk. They're a tuner, and they have done some really kind of over the top builds and been getting a lot of attention by doing it on some very, very valuable cars. Now, I can't say for sure what they started with, the condition of the car, if it was wrecked or whatever, but I think it was a year or so ago, they did a Ferrari F40. And yeah, on one hand, it's like, it's a little cringeworthy going, oh, this is millions of dollars and you guys really kind of cut it up. But They personalized it in a way that it made it very interesting. It's got a lot of attention, a lot of press. It could be worth more right now. I don't know if it's worth more in 10 years from now, but they did something really kind of cool with that car. And look, it did whatever it needed to do for their shop, I guess, right? Like, it got them a lot of attention. And the crazy body kit that they made for the F40, you could buy. I don't know how many people are buying them and putting them on the F40s, but you
I'd
could.
I'd say zero.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, come on. Let's be honest. You see what these things are pulling at auction right now, the F40s? My brother's got one. He's very attentive of what's going on. There is no way there nobody is going to do that to their F-40. Not right now.
You know what? I was thinking back. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Ari Rosenbaum. He had Spectre Performance, and he had the Land Speed car. He brought it to the studio. That like the missile shaped car that he brought with a Cadillac engine in it, and he did some Land Speed stuff in an F-40. He put like the flat like Moon Eyes type disc wheels on it, and I think he even had a big block Chevy or even a big Cadillac engine or something in the vehicle. Like the Ferrari engine was out at one point, but that car has been through so many iterations, like, and went back to the Ferrari engine. And I wonder if a guy like that would
be a candidate.
That would be a pretty good candidate. He's done so many things with the car, and listen, let's not, he's well off. He's got other cars, other Ferraris and things like that. So I don't think he's looking at, you know, like a fresh F-40 going, hey, I'm gonna put wide fender flares and all kinds of stuff on it, but that could be interesting, especially if he wanted to bring it back and do another like Land Speed thing or some, you know, hill climb event. And
well, if their iteration gives him better, you know, slipstream than what he was running, yeah,
right. If it had better aero, it certainly has more tire on the ground. Maybe he's looking for traction. Maybe not in top speed, Land Speed stuff, but who knows? But anyway, it's just kind of a thought was what they did there. And then this year they brought out a Lamborghini Countach.
My neighbor Countach has a 5,000 mile Countach. I don't believe he's going to be buying a Liberty Walk kit for it to be putting on to increase the value of the vehicle. Nor do I believe that anyone with a Countach that has that in any shape whatsoever would buy a kit. I'm sure that's not their target market. It sure can't be, but you know, I can appreciate what they've done because I looked at those pictures and the cars look pretty damn cool. They're right. They're pretty spot on too.
They did a great job on this kit. I would say that I kind of like the F-40 a little bit more than the Countach. There's a few lines on the Countach that are tough to sort of extend, if you will. What's kind of going on the front end, and the side skirts are a little chunky, a little much for me. But
if they push like you said, the dash away from the driver in the F-40 at least 3 or 4 inches, I'll try one out.
Yeah, right. Because I drove a Countach as well, and the Countach is interesting to me. Is the pedal box is off to the right. The clutch is heavy, so you got to use a shoe, but the gas and the brake are so close together along the transmission tunnel, not the transmission tunnel, but there's a hump there. And you can't wear a shoe. So you have to be like a heavy boot on your left foot and barefoot on your right foot to drive it. And I know I've said this before, it's like, you can't really see out of it, but you know, if you're in a Countach, most people just see you, you know,
yeah, well,
especially if it's a bright red Countach or like I was driving. Anyway, these in a show like Tokyo Auto Salon being so huge and so many vehicles there and so many cars and so many builds, a little like SEMA for a company like Liberty Walk to stand out with a build like this. That's commendable. Like in that sea of crazy builds out there, this is the car that seems to be standing out. And for a couple of years in a row now that they've been getting a lot of attention. So anyway, it's a cool piece. It's like I said, I think it's more of a really cool marketing piece for their company. But the Countach more than the F-40, I think they'll sell a kit. I think someone will do this. Now, the Countach has been really gaining in value.
I don't know if it's not close to the F-40.
It's not close.
It's been gaining value, like you said. It's over, I don't know, what would it be? What's the market for a Countach?
Well, you know, if you get into something earlier Countach and some of the rarer versions like the Periscope and stuff, I think they're over $1 million now, probably more than that. But I think you can get into a Countach for still under $1 million.
Wow.
So there's probably some instances you're probably around, you know, 400,000 or 500,000, for the Countach for sure. But there's a few that are rare and are pretty high up there. This one that they did looks like one of the last versions. Pagani, I believe, was the designer there toward the end, like the 25th anniversary Countach that has like the cheese grater vents on it, kind of like the Testarossa on the side and the back. I believe that was a Pagani design before he left and started his own company. And that looks kind of like what's going on with the Liberty Walk car. Now, I don't know if they took that design and ran with it, or that's the vehicle that they started with, one of the later ones, but that's kind of what it looks like to me. It has some of those vents and stuff to it. It's cool. It's interesting. It's just, it would just be a tough pill to swallow if you were going to do that to your car. Listen, if you had, if you were racing these cars back in the day, but I don't think there was any real racing Countaches, but if you were racing them and you had, you know, two frame chassis and bodies in white and things like that, and you wanted to shock
that's different
the community, then for sure. We talked about this years ago with Adam Carolla was restoring one of his Lamborghinis, like a 400 GT, and he had two of them. And they, at the time they were, you know, I don't know, $150,000 cars. They've gone up quite a bit. They're not $1 million. They're $500,000 cars, but they've gone up significantly. And we had a conversation with Ring Brothers going, what do you think about Lamborghini? And they love the idea. They're like, we would never get an opportunity like this. I just don't know if it makes sense to do, because nobody, and this was years ago, like the rings haven't really changed the guys, but the cars that they've done have been more over the top, but not necessarily starting with an expensive car. Probably the Rolls Royce that they just did at SEMA was probably the biggest sort of jumping off point of the vehicle is in terms of value that they probably started with. I mean, their Pantera was pretty interesting as well. That's not, you know, it's not a $5,000 car. I would love to have seen what they could have done with the Lamborghini, the 400 GT. And that's not to say it would be worth more or less. It's tough to say, because obviously rings are a premium builder right now, and cars that they're building are getting attention and are doing pretty well, like at Barrett Jackson and in the aftermarket, you know, but
they're in a class of their own.
What do you think? Do you think you take arguably a $400,000 Lamborghini 400 GT, you give it to the Rings Brothers, they do their thing. Is it worth more or less?
More.
100%. You think more? Yeah.
100%. Can I say that with other builders out there? No. Can I say that with conviction about the Ring Brothers? Yes.
I would tend to agree. That's my opinion. I don't think Adam would have lost on that car. But by the way, it wasn't $400,000 at the time. That's the value now. Adam bought the car for like $120,000, and it was a shell and a bucket of bolts. It was all there. It just wasn't completely done. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like he was going to buy it for $400,000 and then give the Ring Brothers a bunch of money and be into it for $800,000. Yeah. He would have been into it for $400,000 or $500,000, and I think it would have been worth every bit of that. You know, I think it would have been, and it would have gotten a lot of attention, right? Because nobody would have done that type of car. But again, like what Liberty Walk is doing, nobody would have done these types of
cars.
Please don't put those
guys so close together.
Listen, I haven't seen these cars in person. I can't say for sure what's going on, but it's a different type of build. Like these guys are making body kits and stuff from scratch, I assume, whereas the Rings are really kind of doing a coachwork thing in a different style. It's not, listen, I obviously have a preference. I think we have a preference. We like what the type of building that a Ring Brothers or a Troy Trepanier or a Bobby Alloway or whatever would be doing compared to this, the kind of flared fender kind of bolt on look. It's got a racy look to it, but not necessarily my style. In a racing car, I get it, but on the street,
I think our listeners would like to move on from.
What's going on in your garage? I see you're been hammering away on the Cobra, literally. Saw you got the body off. Saw the new YouTube video going up there. What's the status of the Cobra? What's next?
what's in everything's next.
Now that it's all apart, so everything is next.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with Will Beatty. We're talking about the clutch in it. You know, I got Ron Francis wiring on its way, and then Be Cool radiator. So I mean, the list. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Right. You rip these things apart, and then you start making the list, and then you check it twice, and then you fill in the blanks. And I don't know if you can see it, but the GTX, I put the GTX up because that's the next project that's going to be done unilaterally while the Cobra's being done. The Cobra, first and foremost, has got to go out for fiberglass work. And Sierra, the dealership that I got the Demons from.
Yeah.
They've got a RV center. And so they specialize in fiberglass. I'm going to take the body over there, get it finished over there, and then get it up to XPEL. XPEL is going to wrap it. It's going to come down here, suspension work, bing, bang, boom. Everything's going to be done. The only thing that's not going to be massaged is the motor. Everything else is going to be changed.
The motor is healthy. It doesn't need any freshening up or anything.
I mean, I'm going to freshen it up, but I'm not going to change it by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, right. Because that's the point. That was built around that motor.
Exactly. Brakes are going to be done. Shocks will be done. Rear end will be done. I mean, new wheels, new tires, a bunch of powder coating, most of the trim, most of the chrome trim is all going to be flat, or not flat black, semi-gloss. The car will be flat black. The roll cage will be done. The side pipes are going to be done. Richard's going to be out in a couple months, and he's going to do custom side pipes for it through Magnaflow.
Yeah, through Magnaflow.
He's got some great ideas for it, so.
Now, all the chrome pieces, all that metal is going to be stripped down. Is it going to be painted, or are you going to do like a Cerakote or something? Because I did kind of an off black Cerakote on the door handles on the 95 Lightning.
They're awesome.
Yeah. And I like the way those came out. You guys probably are familiar with it with guns firearms. And stuff, your firearms. Yeah. But I like the way that came out because we 3D printed the billet and stuff. And I wanted to keep it black, but I didn't want a gloss black on the gloss truck. It just had
too much. Well, it depends. If I get Cerakote guys on board with Goldberg's Garage, then that's who does it, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all got to be sent to the same place. I talked to Dakota Digital. They mentioned about the bezels, and they will send me the bezels so that we can get them powder coated or Cerakoted so that every single thing matches, and then send them back to them, and they'll build them. You know the whole story, but
right,
it's all about uniformity. And
that's the way to do it. You got to put together, a package of everything labeled and then send it out and just do it all at once, especially if you're going to do it all at the same color. It needs to be all kind of shot
it's
at once.
It's all shoved in the corner over there, about ready to go. So
label it. Make sure you label everything.
Done. Believe me. I mean, the Cobra is such a rudimentary project, dude. I mean, I say a 3-year-old could do it, but if I screw up along the way, then they're going to go, shit, you're not even as smart as a 3-year-old. But yeah, it's the perfect vehicle to work on. Perfect one to start on, especially for some guy like me.
Who's when you took it apart, was there anything unexpected? Something you didn't know about the car, something you weren't expected? Or was it all pretty much what you anticipated?
Pretty much what I anticipated. I mean, it truly, the entire vehicle fit on half of my workbench.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the 30-foot section of it, the 10-foot section. I mean, it's amazing. In the lev rack, I've got two little shelves where all the contents that were taken out of the vehicle, other than the pertinent, suspension and anything in the drivetrain is still on the but yeah, it's amazing how few things there are.
I mean, when you think about it, no air, no heat, no radio, no power windows. Like it doesn't, like so many of those things that require wiring and electric motors and
I'm stripping
and locks. And it doesn't have door locks. It doesn't have anything.
I'm even dwindling it down more. Right. I mean, there are going to be no windshield wipers on this thing. So why windshield wiper motor? So boom, I can eliminate that. So it creates some space. If there's no space in that behind that dash anyway. So I'm creating, a nice little pocket of a 6x6 that I can use. So, I mean, it's just going to be totally updated, both visually and mechanically. So.
Have you figured out what brake package to go to, or who are you working with on brakes? Because there's a fitment issue. You can't go, the car looks stupid on 19 inch wheels, right? So you got to go with a
wheel. Dropping down. I got 16s, but I want to go 15s I'm going to do a knockoff Hallebrand. I'm going to powder coat everything black. I'm going to do white wall Goodyear freaking NASCAR tires. The thing's going to look absolutely sick. It's going to look like a NASCAR prepped Cobra in all black. You know, the lighting will all be updated, but it'll all be there to match. And I'm just going to do my little twist on it.
Right. And I think it's a good jumping off point for that. With that engine in there, sort of a NASCAR themed version of the Cobra is the way to go. It needs to be all a little bit beefier, a little bit meaner, a little bit bolder, a little wider, a little meaner.
Roll cage is going to be a little bit bigger, right? Yeah. So I mean, everything's just going to be updated. And the biggest issue that we have right now is figuring out what rear to put in the damn thing. I mean, do I stay with the Jag rear end, you know, inboard brakes, or do I move them out, change the weight, you know, in the rear? And my camera just kind of pulled.
It's moving when you move your hands up. The camera moves around. It moves around. I don't know where
move up. But yeah, that's the biggest question that we have right now. 100%.
Yeah. Now, if you don't go with the Jag rear, do you know what the other options are? Because you reached out to the company that makes the cars.
Yeah, but they didn't give me an answer. I didn't specifically ask them about that. I was talking to Savaggio. You can put a Dodge Pumpkin in that thing. I can just put a Dodge rear in it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of options, but I don't know. I'm not going to say let the people decide, but I'm going to talk to a couple people who've done the transformation, have changed it, and see what they think.
Yeah. When we're out at Barrett Jackson, we can swing by, talk to, you know, Lance Stander at Super Performance and kind of see what he's doing too. He usually has a big display with a bunch of cars. We can even kind of peek under one of those. I sent him a message.
Unique Motor Cars said, why change it? You know, I mean, stick with the Jag rear end. And a lot of people are going to say that, but I want to hear the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure Lance has built some high horsepower cars for clients as well. And maybe he has he's got a thought going, well, we use this rear end, but really it caps out about 600 horsepower or something like that, which is insane for that car anyway. But, you know, on the occasion that somebody asked for more than that horsepower, like we're in the range you're at, maybe he's got other thoughts or just ways to beef it up or to do some things to it. But it'll be interesting to have a chat with him to see how he's sort of evolved all of his cars over the years. And he's done the Daytonas and the coupes and stuff. So maybe he's doing something a little differently under those cars.
Yeah. And there's not one way to do it. And people have done it for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
At least. Right. And so why not, I don't want to reinvent the wheel by any stretch. And so why not go on people's experiences? I'm not set on one thing by any means. Can I tell you about the 70 Coronet with the 1500 horsepower DSR motor going in?
No.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
no! My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
No, we didn't get into that yet.
That's why the GTX is up in the air. I'm considering doing a swap with Warman for my four-speed, numbers matching, GTX, 68 GTX, for a roller, 70 Coronet, that I can slide Savazio's chassis under because it's on the way. And then okay. DSR has provided me with the DSR 1500. So I just slap that on the chassis and put that 70 Coronet body on it. Big slapstick and go have some fun. So that's the next one. That's after the Cobra.
That's an interesting car because that has like this squinty-eyed, angry face in the front, and it's kind of a love or hate it face.
I hated it before I bought it, and I've got a 70 triple black six-pack car that I, you know, was right there behind us somewhere. The camera didn't fail, you see it, but I hated the car. Then I flew to Barrett Jackson just to see it in person because I was interested in it.
Yeah,
but I thought it was ugly, and when I saw it in person, man, it spoke to me. And I've seen people do the GTXs. I've seen them do Roadrunners. I've seen them do the Chargers with these new Hemi motors. And I haven't seen anybody do that 70 Coronet with that face just staring at you. I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's not. You're right. Like it's a cool piece, but it's not the prettiest car. So it's not high up on a customer's list of going, hey, let's do this car. But you know, it's got some interesting things that I think. Like Savaggio can massage a little bit going on in the front grill, the double scoops on the hood. If that's the hood, you know, he can do something a little interesting there or get rid of them or the side scoop. The thing is like some of the scoops on that thing just look a little kind of tacked on, like it's got kind of a bulbous fender, but the scoop doesn't really match. It's kind of squared off.
You accentuate the positives. That's what we do. That's what Savaggio does. That's what the Ring brothers do. That's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you try to do and do it as subtly as possible. So that's the tune that we're going to take, but it's not going to be a spit and polish car. It's going to be, you know, like not a Joe Dirt by any stretch, but on the way to a Joe Dirt, it's going to be a driver. But it's going to, underneath of all that metal, it's everything's going to be brand new and nasty. So it's going to be fun. I really can't wait.
And the GTX, why trade the GTX for this? It's just not because a car you drive much.
Well, it's a car that it's one of those that, and you know, I'm a collector, right? Everybody's got one or two or three cars over in the corner going, yeah, I'm going to get to that, you know, in a couple of days, or I've got a vision for it down the road. I'm going to get to, I've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And life's too short. And I'm not going to cut up and bastardize why I bought that car, which is because it's a numbers matching survivor, right? The engine compartment's been gone over and freshened up, but it's every nut and bolt underneath that car, as I have it up in the air, is original. And it's cool. And it tells a story. And I'm not going to erase that story like people are doing with history these days. I'm not doing it. And so who do I reach out to that I know is going to preserve it and give it its right home and find somebody who either wants it or he'll keep it in his collection? It's Mark Warren. He's the guy. And who has probably a 70 Coronet sitting in the back? Mark Warren. And who also has a 70 six-pack triple black four-speed CUDA of mine that needs to be completed that I owe him money. Mark Warren. So it all, you know, it all serves a purpose.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
We should talk to Mark again once you guys start. If you close the deal with him, let's have him on and chat a little bit about what his thoughts are on the GTX, like what he's going to do with it. Maybe he's got plans for it.
Never know.
But he's
a good curator, obviously.
And he's a good guy. I like chatting with him, so we should have him on again and kind of see what's going on over in Warman's shop.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. God knows the antics that are going on over at Graveyard Cars.
I believe they're showing him on Speed Vision, right? His shows are popping up. I think
I think
episodes or the reruns, but Warman's on Speed Vision. So if you guys want to catch up on what's going on with Mark Warman's shop, find Speed Vision. It's on a bunch of streaming platforms now, I believe. It's a cool project. I you were talking to Salvaggio a while back too about the Jeep, the military Jeep. And I think,
oh, and then there's that. Yeah.
Is that moving forward? Is that on hold for now?
That's moving forward. We've got a chassis for that one. And so, yes, it's moving forward. Like I said, there's so many things going at once. It's hard to really concentrate on one of them because they're all so damn cool. I'd like to only have one going, so that I can, you know, be ecstatic about it. But yeah, it's, I don't know what stage it's at right now. We were waiting for a chassis, and since he's in the chassis business now, he's provided. And so we'll get that thing buttoned up, and it's close. Mario's got to provide the Hellcat for it. Well, provide my Hellcat for it. And then the thing should be getting closer for damn sure.
Yeah, Salvaggio's doing his chassis. We, I don't know, a few weeks ago, we texted a little bit, and he's telling me he's doing his chassis and stuff now. So yeah, we should check in with him as well. But is Salvaggio going to be out at Barrett-Jackson, do you think?
Salvaggio will be out at Barrett-Jackson along with his parachute handle and parachute and rear seat delete for the Demon 170. So,
So he might have a booth out there.
I don't think he's going to have a booth. I'm just saying that he sent me the stuff yesterday, and we're going to actively be showing it to everybody, knowing that he's behind it all. So,
yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that'll be a good event. I'm excited to go out there.
I'm his booth.
You're his booth. Yeah. I was just chatting with Aaron Shelby. He's going to be coming out as well. I think Shelby's got a charity car going up on Friday night, which will be kind of cool. That'll be kind of exciting. And Ford is doing the VIN number one Dark Horse. Now, in the past, the charity cars have always done very well. The VIN number one cars, like the Mustang, should pull over $500,000 for that car. Now, in the past, you would win the right to get VIN number one and then build it the way you want to build it. But because of the production timing on the new Mustangs, the 2024 Mustang, VIN number one is built. So you get to buy the car, but you get it as is. And it's the Blue Ember Metallic, which I don't think Ford has available yet, but it was in their show car, the hero car that they brought out to the show. So you get that kind of color changing metallic, like it's a little like Mystic Chrome that was on the 03, 04 Cobra back in the day. So you get that, you get the 6-speed manual and the big performance package with the 6-piston front Brembo brakes and the 14-inch rotors and the Pirelli Trofeo RS tires and the whole thing. So that's the car you get. You get the VIN number one that is built, already done. I said performance pack, but it's a handling pack. And you get the Recaros and the whole deal. So that'll be kind of interesting to see as well. And of course, that always benefits a charity. I think that's JDRF is going to be the charity on that. I don't know if that's going Friday or Saturday night, but Shelby said they're doing Aaron told me that Shelby's doing a car Friday night. Should be kind of interesting to see. But anyway, it should be a good event. For those of you
that
are
a great event
for traveling around the country and coming to Arizona, I get out there and it's like, hey, it's 45 at night. It's a little chilly, but I understand people are getting their ass kicked all over the country with this weather.
It's 20 degrees outside in Texas right now.
Yeah.
And that's a high comparatively to the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I think tonight it's going to get, or last night it got down to 12. So yeah, we're getting our asses kicked. So anything above 50, hopefully Scottsdale will be that next week.
Yeah. During the day, it should be for sure. During the day, it should be. Looking forward to that. I started doing some stuff just before we wrap up. It's so funny. So I'm putting a few things up on YouTube, and I was taking the Ford Lightning behind me, and I was like, "Yeah, I just want to do something."
People don't want to see EVs.
Yeah, I got the wheels from it, from Holley Performance. So the Shelby American wheels for the truck. And I went with the Shelby wheels is because obviously we have a relationship with Shelby and I like the look of the wheel, and it's an F-150 wheel. So it's load tested to 2,500 pounds. It's, you know, I didn't have to fuss around with, will the wheel work? And it's a heavy EV and whatever. So I put it up there and it's got a handful of views, and I put it up on social media and a handful of views, but, and I just forget kind of like where,
how brutal social media is.
Yes. On one hand, it's like, I can't, like, so many people just like hate this truck and feel compelled to say so. And it's like, it's fine. It's mine. It's not theirs. And listen, every time you watch it and hate it, it's a, you know, I get another penny from YouTube. So rack them up. But I just, maybe it's just outside of the car community or outside of California or both. But the lack of love for EVs outside of that world, outside of this, you know,
outside of California,
outside of California, and maybe the car community, because it's like when we go to things like a Detroit Auto Show or LA Auto Show or CES or whatever, that's such the forefront of what's happening in
on doesn't in the mean new people car have world. To like it though.
No, you don't have to like it, and you don't have to like the truck. And you don't have to like the truck, and you're seeing companies backtrack a little bit, going, maybe we're not going to be a fully EV company. Maybe we're going to focus a little bit more on, you know, other technologies and hybrids, and still keep some gas engines and stuff around. It's entertaining to say the least to see the amount of comments coming in. You know, I got like three, hey, nice wheels, this should look good. And then the rest are just like, that'll look great if you drove it off a cliff. The EV
trucks, exactly.
Like, it's just, it's interesting.
You got to know your audience, man.
Let's talk about Dodge for a second. Does Dodge know their audience? You've definitely seen the photos.
All right? I can tell you are my two cars at auction, Barrett Jackson, next Saturday night, the 27th, as they go across the block, their value is going to go up based upon those spy photos that were seen by everyone yesterday.
So these photos that were leaked, I don't know. They're not leaked. I don't know. Somebody from Dodge put them up. I don't even remember who. But and then Dodge ran with it, and Dodge Garage ran with it. But it's the Dodge Charger Daytona, the electric vehicle. It still has kind of the cool front end where the air goes kind of through the grill and over the top of the hood. The back starts to look more like a Dodge Charger. Now it is a two-door Charger, so I don't know what they're going to do with a Challenger or what the idea here is or what the lineup's going to be, but this is pretty much showing us what the electric Charger is going to look like. Also, you've noticed conventional door handles, conventional mirrors, you know, the lighting, this, all of that stuff looks to be pretty much production ready. Now, of course, we're going to go, hey, the concept car looked cooler, because the concept car had little digital mirrors or cameras and flush door handles. And yeah, that's always going to be the case. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. And yes, this brings up the question, is like the audience. Does Dodge is betting on converting some of their performance enthusiasts, the Hellcat owners, to a performance enthusiast EV? And, you know, of course the company has, they're going to have EVs and they're going to have hybrids and they're going to have, you know, like what they're doing with Ram and whatever, but the Charger has always leaned toward the performance enthusiast. Even if you got the base model, you know, plain engine, whatever, it had a look to it. You could still get the stripe packages and the different trim levels and stuff for it. So I'm wondering, because they're not really giving Dodge fans a choice. There's not a gas engine version and then an EV version. Like the Porsche Macan, for example, they've got the EV. That's going to be the future of the Macan, but they're going to sell it at least for the first year or a couple years side by side with the gas engine version, so you can get the gas engine or the EV version if you like that vehicle. But there's not going to be a gas engine Charger.
I think if Dodge did that, they'd sell three of the EV versions,
right? If it was side by side, so they're kind of forcing the fans into it. I'm not going to say it won't be fun to drive, like Tim Kuniskis and Mark Trosel and the guys over there, they have they have an inclination for the performance, the over the top. Look at what they've done with the Hellcat. I mean, the Demon 170 that you've got going up at auction, you really have to kind of think about that car, because David Freiberger brought this up. He's like, listen, it's not that difficult to make 1,000 horsepower, but it is to make it emissions legal OEM from the factory, pass all of the tests and
warranty and reliable.
Like, now that's tough to do when you're not, I don't know, Koenigsegg or Bugatti, right? And you're charging $4 million for a car, you know, like this is tough to do for $100,000, $120,000, car, or even a couple hundred thousand is tough to do. Anyway, that kind of performance into an EV, I think it'll be an interesting car. I think it'll be a car that I definitely would like to try to drive. I'd like to get behind the wheel and see how it performs. At SEMA, there's been a few vehicles in the aftermarket where they're adding sounds. I'm not sure how well that product is moving, making it sound like an engine when it's not an engine.
And Dodge has their own version of that also.
They do. That's what they're doing with this vehicle.
It's obviously a turning point in the automotive world. And how are Dodge's loyal fans going to react to not having a choice anymore? Right.
Right. Yes.
I'm one of them. Right. So,
but you're gonna have to get in this car.
Our expectations are high, and it's hard to go from what they just produced to no V8. So what they're gonna have to do is gonna have to be so nice and so special to win everyone over immediately. I think that, you know, I hope that they do it. Look at my garage. I've got all Dodges.
Oh, listen.
Right. I hope, like anyone, they do it for sure. But
I think
remains to be seen.
I think you're a great target audience for this car. If Dodge can convince you, then Dodge can convince a lot of their fans.
100%. I bet they could convince 99.9% of them. They can convince me. And it took me a couple of years to come around to the Challenger iteration that just went extinct. You know, it took until I can't remember when it was, and they changed the rear fascia, you know, the rear end of the car, and made it look palatable as opposed to a bulbous piece of ass that's hanging off the back of the car. And I didn't even look at the car prior to that.
So Charger Hellcats, and the idea of a four-door Charger was a little bizarre to me, but they convinced a lot of people. It sells twice as many as the Challenger. That's right. Yeah. Since you've had it down here, when you got it here back when you were in California and I came over, you're like, you weren't sure and you got it. And you're like, no, this is my daily car. I love this car. Still my favorite
Ford. I mean, you know, under $150,000.
Right. Right. I just think this car is, look, I think if you go in, and this is for everybody, if you go in with an open mind and go, this isn't the Charger or Challenger it's replacing, this is a different vehicle, then evaluate it based on that. Is it a fun vehicle? Is it interesting? Does it perform the way you want? Not necessarily.
But as a purist, you have to compare and contrast, because what you loved, it was just taken away from you, and this is in its place. So, I mean, they're obviously, you know, are the comparisons. And so I don't know, our expectations are really high, especially after given 1,025 horsepower option to purchase.
Well, listen, good for them. They went out with a bang, like literally it was a big 1,025 horsepower bang. So, all right, listen, let's wrap things up. We'll try to get one more show in the can next week before we head out to Barrett Jackson. And for those of you coming out to Barrett Jackson, we
hit all my
see
cars
out there. A bit on the cars. Have a good time.
Come drink Bravaga.
If you see us, come say hi and give us a wave or whatever. We just love to see you guys. Appreciate it. All right, guys. Thanks. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag of the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.